And just like that, lads, I've got a cold.
Nice.
So it'll be sniffly. But yeah, we're going to power through. My original plan was to say, and just like that, the NFL season's over. So I'll say that now, and just like that, the NFL season is over.
It goes too fast.
I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it is, you know, 3.5 months, which is a long time, but it doesn't feel like that. Mm. These, you know, since I've really got into NFL and fantasy football, my God, do those last months of the year fly by?
Yeah, they fly by so fast that a beloved Sunday night 7-hour-long television show can completely change the slogan and act like nothing happened. That's how fast the season goes along.
Yeah. That's true. We're looking at you, Scott. We're looking at you.
Scott.
Tried to slip that under our noses, didn't he?
As if we wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, listen. What I'm interested in is, like, when you say, you know, there's going to be, if they do like an Octobox, maybe one of the screens is an advert. Are they going to be relevant adverts to us, to international viewers? Or, you know, we brought this point up last week, because I remember saying, you know, listen, this might be a misleading one, but it's like, no, Scott, International House of Pancakes doesn't apply to us.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's an...
Oh, yeah. It is.
So, you know, I don't want to know about an Arby's. Any other, you know, fast food restaurants along the course of the episode, lads, just shout them out. Shout them out, if you think of them. But week 18 is in the books. Let's get into it. Just some of the consequential games, let's say. I'm not going to get into all of the other pointless ones. So Thursday night, Bengals did what they needed to do, beat the Steelers 19-17. And all was sort of going well, because the Jets beat the Dolphins 20-32 as well. Again, the Jets coming up clutch when it doesn't matter at all. Mm. Potentially Aaron Rodgers' last game ever. Maybe.
Mm. Maybe. I don't think so.
Wishful thinking, I know. But yeah. But I mean, all Bengals' hope was soon dead and buried when the Broncos just started scoring at will against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, I had to check the stats to see if they did show up for this game, because the score was 0-38. Chiefs Broncos. Wow. Like, talk about doing your divisional opponent a massive favour and just bending over backwards to invite them into the playoffs with you. They did not put up a fight at all. That was impressive how uncompetitive that game was. I mean, I know it's like the Chiefs are in the one seed, but it's like you'd have fought something, like a field goal.
I mean, can you imagine though? Like, I mean, unless you're like, you know, a young guy or a guy who's fighting for like another contract, they've said, right, we're gonna arrest everyone that's important, and you're out there playing. You'd just be like, well, screw you then. You don't care about me. I don't care about this team.
I was thinking that. I was like, as I was looking at the stats and looking at the players who played for the Chiefs, I'm like, is there any more of a kiss of death than being selected for the squad in this game? I'm looking at Juju Smith-Schuster.
Exactly.
Wow. So, yeah, Broncos are in. I think they deserve it. Like we said in the past, Bengals, you can cry and moan all you want about them being, you know, the best offense in the league, this and the other. Too late. Too little, too late. And, I mean, just on the Bengals, I know we spoke about this in the week, Al, but, I mean, Sharples. So they had the Leeds League... This is a tongue twister for you. The league-leading passer in Joe Burrow. They had the Triple Crown receiver in Jamar Chase, and they had the league leading sack getter in Hendrickson.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a talented roster. If there isn't more evidence for a coach being fired, because that roster, it's there in cold facts, this is a talented roster. Like, yeah. look at those stats. This is a talented roster. And the head coach didn't get enough out of them. It's simple as that. Like, for me, looking at that, the players did what they had to do. You know, when it came down to it, the players did what they had to do. The coach didn't. So I'm surprised that seat isn't scalding hot, really, for Zach Taylor.
The seat probably is hot. They've just obviously not made a move. But, I mean, those three are really good players, but when you think of it in the context of a full team, three players probably doesn't cut it. I mean, Burrow and Chase can always do something, we know that. Trey Hendrickson got his sacks, but what else is there other than that?
Yeah, true. Like,
if it was 3-on-3, I agree, they'd probably win the Super Bowl.
True, but all I'm saying is those stats are weighted against the players around you as well. Like, Joe Burrow doesn't get that many passing yards just by one guy. It's a team of receivers. Trey Hendrickson, things don't open up for him to get sacks without the defensive line doing their job as well with the players around the quarterback. I don't know. Like, I know there's questions to be had about. I know the Bengals have fired the defensive coordinator as well, but I don't know. Just feels like other changes need to happen there. Really, I mean, we talk about we mentioned in the off chance the 49ers potentially, you know, and Kyle Shanahan maybe needing a divorce from that relationship, and he's been incredible. So, I mean, aside from one quite out of the blue Super Bowl appearance. I don't really. Zach Taylor, to me, it's incredible that he's still got this job as the Bengals head coach, and you forget about him whenever you're talking about the best coaches in the league. Mm-hmm. He is never somebody who comes up. Whereas the rest of these teams are in the playoffs, who get to the Super Bowl every year, they're in there. They're the names that come to mind. So I don't know. maybe we're. You know, this is a premonition, and in a week's time, he's gone. But I don't know. I just think he's very. I don't think he's the head coach for that team, really. But in the NFC, Panthers. Whoo! Panthers. Best team in the league the past month, I would say. but we've been talking about the Panthers like that for years. To be fair, we have been. Mm-hmm. On the Panthers' side a lot of the time.
I want an official answer out of you two. I sent you a text as it was happening.
Yeah.
Is Bryce Young for real now? And when I say for real, a competent quarterback?
I'm going to say yeah.
A more than competent quarterback?
No, I'm going to say quarterback because I think, you know, he's shown improvement. Shown improvement, definitely. Like, this past game, I think it was like, I don't know, the first time a quarterback had as many passing yards and passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns in the same game. And that's in a game where the opposing team weren't bending over for him. Like, they had to win that game, and the Panthers came out and beat him fair and square. And Bryce Young, just playing with confidence, that's what confidence does for you. Like, I don't know if there's anything different in his technique or anything like that. You can tell he's playing with a little bit of swagger, which, Al, I'm sure you'll be able to tell us. That's, I guess, how he played in college, with a bit of swagger.
Yeah, it was the intangibles that set him apart in college, you know, the kind of obviously very skilled player, but quite undersized, but it was the intangibles that you were getting there. It was the ability to kind of like motivate players, but also read the game. He was a smart player. And we've just not necessarily seen that much in the NFL because there is such a gap with the physicality, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be the Panthers quarterback next season. Has he moved up like ranks in terms of where I view quarterbacks in the league? No, he's probably still around the early to mid-20s, you know, for now.
Yeah. I mean, Sharples, what's your answer to that, though? You posed the question.
Positive signs, but I think the Panthers have just been that terrible for the past few years. It's hard to be optimistic. If he's, you know, start next season with a couple of wins and he looks just as good, then yeah, great. But there's also still a lot of dysfunction in that organisation around him and the rest of the team. Yeah. So be an interesting off season. I'm interested to see who they pick in the draft with first overall, not first overall pick, first round pick.
Yeah, sure.
Plus, I'm not putting much weight on anything that happened this past week. I mean, we spoke about it, Lou. They should find a way to not play games in that week 18 if they don't need to, because, and it sounds awful saying this, because you only get 18 weeks of NFL regular season football a season. I found myself bored watching Red Zone. I thought none of these games mean anything apart from two of them, and you can kind of tell. We don't tune in to watch Red Zone to watch guys who can barely make an NFL roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. True.
I didn't think it was an amazing advertisement for the NFL.
No.
The football that was being played.
Yeah, I mean, in defence of the league, like, you know, people have to watch the Jets every week, so you talk about people barely making an NFL roster. There's that every week. But, I know. It's a bit of a downer to go out on, but then again, you get the high of the playoffs after it. You get the high of the playoffs.
Exactly,
it's an extra bye week for those teams that did extra well, I guess. But yeah, in the NFC, Panthers did beat the Falcons in overtime, which meant that the Bucs would be going through regardless of if they beat the Saints or not. They did. I wouldn't say it was handily done at all, really, but the Bucs seem to do this. They sort of ebb and flow a little bit, but they did, despite, you know, being down at halftime and still barely being ahead in the third quarter, they did turn on the gas in the fourth quarter. Got Mike Evans. That was so stupid as well.
Because the last play,
great to see, though.
They could have kneeled it out, but Mike Evans had to get his 1,000-yard season.
Okay, boomer.
but there was more than a 0% chance that Mike Evans turns his ACL or breaks his leg on that play. More than a 0% chance. The fact that he's
I would say there was more than a 0% chance that it gets intercepted and the other team go down and score, and it leaves a window open for the Bucs to not even get in the playoffs.
I know. Because at that point they didn't, like, Falcons and Panthers were still playing as well.
Yeah.
I know, so risky play, ballsy, but they're doing it for their guys.
I liked it.
Why not just, like, quadruple team? There's a bit of me that thinks they just let him do it. Quite a large bit of me that thinks they let him. Because, I mean, everyone in that stadium knew where it was going. Like,
knew
it was
what
going
was
to Mike Evans.
Yeah,
but, I mean, if you're the owner or the GM or whatever, like, if it was me, and obviously I'm wealthy enough to own a football team, I'd be saying, Mike, I'll give you a bonus anyway, mate. I'll give you that $3 million. Just let's take a knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't want... He wanted history. He wanted history.
He did.
Yeah, well, Marshawn Lattimore doesn't play for the Saints anymore. He might have had something to say about it.
Yeah, that would have been funny. But the Bucs are through. And then the hotly anticipated Sunday night game between the Vikings and the Lions for the number one seed in the NFC wasn't really the game we were hoping it would be.
Bit of a dud.
Vikings 9, Lions 31. No touchdown for the Vikings as well. Not great. Not a great performance just before you're going into the playoffs, really, to sort of just be beaten quite easily by a team that you know you're going to have to beat, really, if you want to get to the Super Bowl. So that's not great. I think, I don't know if that scared me, because that performance does reflect in my playoff bracket, which we'll get to later on, but I don't know. I've just been scared off a little bit for the Vikings because that wasn't great. But I know we said I wasn't going to talk about the inconsequential games, because I just want to go through the top 10 draft picks for next year. And obviously a lot of these teams were in those inconsequential games. So at number one, this coming draft will be the Tennessee Titans. Quarterback, Al?
Probably. I mean, Sharples on our text chain raised the point the other day that I've been hearing a lot as well, this idea that, the Titans should actually trade that number one pick to the Vikings for JJ McCarthy, because JJ McCarthy, if he was in the draft this year, he would be the number one overall pick. And I'm a bit like, you know, I don't know what... I was always really surprised in the draft last year when McCarthy shot up as high as he did, because I always thought, you know, he's quite young. You know, he didn't get asked to do a great deal for that Michigan team that won the national championship. Obviously, they won the national championship, so he's not a slouch, but, you know, he didn't get asked to do a great deal. And I just thought that his kind of, like, stock just, like, skyrocketed after the college season had finished, which I've always found really strange. Anyway, we've not seen him play, but this idea that he would automatically be the number one pick this year, if it was this year, implying that the quarterback class this year is like the Kenny Pickett class, I don't necessarily think that's the case. You know, the two guys, Shadur Sanders and Cam Ward of Miami, have, by all accounts, statistically had better and longer college. Like, again, statistically, not talking about national championships, just talking statistically, had better and longer college careers than McCarthy. So it feels like, even though I don't hate the logic, if it was like McCarthy was, you know, in one of those absolutely stacked quarterback classes and you could get him, like, let's say if Tua Tagovailoa got injured and never played for Miami, and then the next year was the Kenny Pickett draft, then you would have, you know, traded the Tua team. You know what I mean? It, just as an example, if players that we know were in the same situation. But I don't know if he is such a home run pick that you would do that. Yeah. I like Shadur Sanders. Again, probably not convinced really by... There's some good skill position players coming in this draft, but probably not like an absolute can't-miss quarterback. But, you know... Cam Ward has played nearly 60 games in college. We've just seen what's happened with two quarterbacks that have played nearly 60 games or more than 60 games in college, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. You know, yeah. You want to bank on that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what you're saying also applies for the next two picks as well. The Browns at number two, the Giants at number three. Browns going to be wanting a quarterback. And I was thinking that before the news that Deshaun Watson had ruptured his Achilles again. Just
of course,
talking about bad things happening.
All I'm saying here, I'm not trying to be, you know, tinfoil hat person, conspiracy theorist man. But it's a bit like that injury. It's good for everybody. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play anymore. He just wants to take his checks and leave. The Browns don't want to pay him to play anymore. They don't want to pay him either, but they definitely don't want to play him. It just feels too convenient.
Feels like karma for a bad man.
Yeah, that as well.
Simple as. Bad guy. I don't think we've... I don't know. I feel like, I can't remember if we've outright said that on the part. I know we've alluded to it, but yeah. Absolutely bad guy.
We should have said he was... I think we should have said he was a bad guy in the past.
Patriots at pick four. They've got a couple of quarterbacks to pick from, so they won't be picking a quarterback. Who was that played for him this... Milrow?
Joe Milton.
Milton's
got an absolute...
Who am I thinking of? Milrow, who's that?
You're thinking of Jalen Milrow, who's coming out in the draft this year from Alabama. Right. Milton... play for Tennessee, absolute cannon of an arm. I mean, I think I sent you to a clip of him throwing at the combine. Cannon of an arm, really good athlete as well. Always kind of struck you as maybe, you know, like a kind of Patriots hedging the bet akin to, I don't know, Washington picking Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins in the same draft. But, you know, Milton can play. And he's, like I said, he's got an arm on him.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, Jags with the number five pick, Raiders 6, Jets 7, Panthers 8, Saints 9, Bears 10. Interesting. A lot of needs on a lot of those teams, so we'll see what happens. But let's round out the season with our categories. Our categories for the season. So I'm going to say impressive team on the season, Sharples.
Very safe pick, but I had to go for the Lions finishing with a joint best record, but how they separated themselves from the Chiefs was they steamrolled everyone, putting up 50 points for fun, and they did it despite losing a lot of bodies to injuries. Good players as well, aka Aiden Hutchinson. But yeah, just an unbelievable year, and very happy for Dan Campbell. He seems like a right dude.
Yeah. Al?
I'm going to go Commanders. I think, you know, they took everyone by surprise this year. They had a bit of adversity in the middle of the season as well and overcame it. I think Daniels looks amazing. And they just kind of look like, you know, it could be a Texans from last year's story, but we're not there yet. And for the moment, it looks like that kind of team and that culture has really shifted and changed around for the better.
Yeah. I feel like my pick's similar to yours, Al, because you could go so many different ways on this. But I went with the Chargers. Similar reasons, you know, first year with a new coach and stuff like that, but what he got out of that team, the identity that team changed, they just became a reliable team overnight that you knew was going to be competitive and stuff, which is not what they were under the previous regime. So I went with the Chargers. I thought, you know, whenever the Chargers are in a game, I feel like they have a decent shout, which I don't think you could say about every team.
To be honest, Lou, I just think that speaks a bit more to mine and your differing sleeping patterns, because clearly I just go to bed earlier than you on Sunday, because I never see him. Because they're one of those West Coast teams, the Chargers, I never seem to see them play.
Yeah.
Because I always fall asleep on a Sunday night. So.
Perks of being self-employed. not buying it playoff team. No. I'm going to caveat
should
this.
Can we not just all say it?
You're not allowed to say the Texans, right? Not buying it playoff team, Sharples.
I figured you might say something like that, Lou, because you're a crafty individual. So, listen, this could make me look very silly, but I'm not buying the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
They've obviously the run into the playoffs, they look good getting wins under the belt, but I haven't forgotten how lost they've looked at times this season. And they have to go through probably the Ravens followed by the Chiefs. And I just, for where the expectations are and people saying they can make it to the Super Bowl and win, fair play if they get past those two, they'll deserve it, but I don't see it.
All right. But yeah, fair enough. It's a good one. Al?
So I could say one team, and when we go through our playoff brackets in a bit, it's going to become clear that I think a one particular very well regarded team this year is a not buying it team, but they could easily burn me as well, so I'm going to save that to later on. I'm just going to go the Steelers, because I think it's been a bit of, well, not a bit, it has been a pretty awful end to the season for them. I think not necessarily the wheels have fallen off, but they're coming into the playoffs kind of with no momentum. So, I mean, if I just quickly have a look here, I want to say, and I could be wrong here, that the Steelers have
the
lost
last four games,
maybe the last four games.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, they've lost the last four games. They're coming into the playoffs with no momentum. So for that fact alone, it's the Steelers. For
yeah, I go with the Steelers as well. I'll similar reasons. No momentum coming in against one of the toughest teams in the playoffs. Yeah, Steelers for me. And who is the worst team in the league? Who's been the worst team in the league this year, Sharples?
Well, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys. No, I mean, they have been bad, especially where expectations were, but probably magnified this one because I am a supporter of them, but the Jets, just to finish 7-9 last year after Rodgers went down how he did, thought, right, we can really build on this. I wasn't expecting him to be Green Bay and Rodgers, but I thought a competent quarterback with this defense, with some of the pieces they've got, you know, Garrett Wilson, etc., Breece Hall. I thought, yeah, they can, in a division that's gettable. I'm not saying they were going to finish above the Bills, but they could have easily had that second place spot. And it's just disintegrated like a block of cheese falling from space.
Nice. Al?
There's been some bad teams, some bad football being played. I think I'm going to go the Giants because they've seemed as kind of clueless as the Jets quite often. Can I quickly add another? Oh, I'll let you do yours, Lou, then I'll say a quick another category. Yeah. But that relates to like bad teams. But I'm going to go the Giants. Yeah, I think and this idea that Daboll's still there and they're going to try and run it back. I don't know. I think they're going to be struggling again for another year.
Yeah, I agree. But I went with the Browns because, I mean, look at the teams. I felt Sharpless was going to say the Jets, and every fibre of my being wanted to say the Jets. But I went with the Browns because along with the Jets, I say of these teams that, you know, were 3-win, 4-win, 5-win teams or what have you, Jets and the Browns were probably the ones coming into the season who people were felt, you know, regarded most highly. Really, they were looked at as, you know, fringe playoff teams and stuff, which I don't think you can say that about the Titans and the Giants and the Patriots and stuff like that. Browns were awful, terrible, and that is down to obviously the aging team, and also but bad business decisions over the last few years as well, which has culminated in this season that was just atrocious. So yeah, Browns for me, really. Mm-hmm. And what was the other category, Al?
It was my this is a nothing team category, normally held by in the NFC and the AFC. It's a two team award. Yeah. Normally held by the Saints and Raiders.
Yeah.
In NFC and AFC respectively. I've got a couple ones that I'm thinking this year, lads. Let me know what you think. So obviously, I think, would we say Titans are bad or nothing?
Bad.
Okay. Here's one then. This is the team that I know for a fact is going to get the AFC This Team Is Nothing award. The Dolphins.
Nothing.
Yeah. And do we have any shirts for the NFC This Team Is Nothing award? Or did the regular holders of the award, the Saints, just keep it for another year?
As soon as you said it, I said Saints in my head, so I think they've got to be there. And in answer to your earlier question, the Titans are bad because they have nothing.
I was thinking Saints, but I'd say they're border on bad this year. My team, I would suggest, is the Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah,
really. The Cardinals,
just the team where it's like they have some Pro Bowl level players. They're not going to get in the playoffs, but they're not going to be very high up in the draft either.
I mean, you know,
they've got a quarterback. They've got a quarterback, but the quarterback's not very good.
Cardinals do have Pro Bowl level player. That's about it.
I'd say players.
Yeah. James Conner was good this year.
James Conner was good. James McBride, Conner. I was thinking of.
Buda Baker is always good at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Kyler Murray's just not good.
Maybe he isn't. Maybe he's
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we look up the record, like, again, can we do the joke where we look up the record after the new Call of Duty came out?
Oh, yeah. When did it come out? One sec.
You look at when Call of Duty came Black out. Ops, I'll look up
Black, is it like Black Ops 6? Call of Duty Black Ops 6.
No, it's well past that, lad. It's well past that. Is it not like Black Ops 9?
No, lad, Black Ops 6.
We don't play
Black Ops 6, October 25th, alright? Arizona Cardinals from October 25th. Yeah? Are we ready for this?
What was the record at that point? What was the record before October 25th?
One sec. Just pulling it up now. So the Cardinals' record before October 25th was getting it up now.
3-4 off the top of my of just what I'm glancing at.
It was. Oh yeah, I think my Googs is. He's doing a bit of 3-4, and from that point, One win, two win, three win.
We ended on
four wins, five wins. So they went 5-5.
But the real question is, how many of those losses landed on double XP weekends? No. No.
Yeah, like, let's not do that. it's a good, but if, yeah, disappointing results, that I wanted that to be another little trend.
Yeah, something.
Something, yeah.
There's no, yeah. Anyway, the Dolphins are nothing.
Yeah, agreed. Let's look at some of the best performances from week 18, though. The week that didn't count, but he certainly did for these players' stats. I tell you that. Jahmyr Gibbs, 139 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 5 receptions, 31 yards, 1 receiving touchdown as well, 46 fantasy points in PPR. Ridiculous. Wow. Drake London, 10 for 187 and 2. Bryce Young, my quarterback projection beater, certainly beat his projection. Killed it, actually. Murdered his projection. Bludgeoned it. 251 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 24 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Good game. Bo Nix as well. 321 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 47 rushing yards. Quinton Johnston, 13 receptions, 186 receiving yards. Woo! Bijan Robinson, 170 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and then 2 receptions for 3 yards, which is a bit pathetic, but counts.
How many
counts
did you get, Lou?
Good point. Great point. Derek Henry, another 138 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns as well, and 2 receptions for 23 yards. Justin Herbert with a nice game. Kyler Murray, poor quarterback, but good game. Jacoby Myers, Miles Sanders, what? Every time that I watch Red Zone, Miles Sanders was just catching like a 20-yard pass. It's like, what is happening? and then Geno Smith earned his bonus checks, didn't he? Just, I think they needed like, he needed 10 wins and a certain amount of touchdowns and yards or something. So they got those empty wins. And yeah, well done, Geno Smith. $6 million, I believe, earned. That's impressive.
Nice. Your favourite player, Lou?
Mine?
Yeah, ever since the whole right-back thing, you've been enamoured with him.
I still say that was pretty hard. That was a good line.
And I still say it makes no sense.
The more you think about it, the worse it gets.
Have to. It's vibes. It's pure vibes.
Okay.
If we're going through the logistics of it, sure, yeah. But you wouldn't go through the logistics of any other saying. Like, you know, can you smell what the Rock is cooking? Like, what do you mean?
But there's... No, that does make sense, though.
But he's not cooking anything. He's running into a ring. Right.
Well, if we're gonna not be serious, then let's end the conversation.
Didn't write back, though. Wrote him off, didn't write back. Al, I just want to throw it to you.
No one was writing to him, though.
Yeah, they're writing.
What's he talking about?
They might be writing about him in the newspaper, but exactly. you can't write back on a news unless it's like a Lonely Hearts thing. But even then, you have to send your submission in. You don't write on that. Yeah,
he's playing around with the semantics, and it's the same theme. It's the same.
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Al, before we get into top 10 players, per position on the season, anyone heading to the booth at the end of this season?
Ooh.
Anybody heading to the booth?
Did we not have a good one recently? Did we say Aaron Rodgers?
We said Aaron Rodgers, and we said,
I think. Maybe not heading to the booth, but clearly heading to his own extremely annoying Thursday Night Football Netflix TV show with his brother, Travis Kelce.
All right, okay.
I know it's not got the same ring as heading to the booth. Heading to a really annoying talk show. Travis Kelce will retire and have some sort of stupid show with his brother.
Well, heading to a really annoying talk show could also be Aaron Rodgers's, because I'm sure he's going to pop up on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yes.
He'll make his own in his basement.
All in darkness. The Darkness Retreaters, it'll be called.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have, I don't know, Elon Musk and Antonio Brown on the... Something like that. Top 10 players per position. Get into it. Quarterback position, Lamar Jackson. Also the number one scoring player in all of fantasy football. 430 points. Smashed it again this year, Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Jaden Daniels, all five of those guys averaging over 20 points per game. Great season if you drafted any of them, especially Mayfield, who was probably a waiver wire ad, and Daniels, who was drafted later on. I know I got Jaden Daniels in one league and sort of rode him to the playoffs at least. Number six might surprise you. Number six is Jared Goff. Now, we are going off, I'm going off total fantasy points here, not points per game. But Jared Goff comes in at number six. A lot of hot and cold weeks, I guess, because Jared Goff, I don't know. He felt like one of us always was toying with him as a projection beater, and he never really blew up, but I guess he, you know, must have done.
Jared Goff for me at the minute is the kind of guy who exemplifies the don't draft an early quarterback, because I'd have been fine in any week picking him up off the waiver and starting him. And yeah, it might have been a week where he got 14 points instead of 40, but there was a fair few of those guys this year. But yeah, I thought he was solid, and you know, like instead of, you know, yeah, you could have, who are the quarterbacks that were going early? I mean, obviously like Allen, I think Mahomes still went early this year.
Yeah.
Like compare that to just adding him up off the waivers any week you wanted. Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, talk about lessons learned, obviously we'll get into that in follow-up episodes. But yeah, just looking at these quarterbacks here, so 7 Bo Nix, 8 Jalen Hurts, who was averaging over 20 points per game but did miss the last week and stuff like that. And then 9 Sam Darnold, 10 Kyler Murray. So of those guys, I'd say, you know, Jackson, Allen, Hurts, potentially Burrow, they're your guys who you had to draft early. So 6 of the top 10, I'd say, are guys who, you know, you picked them up going well later on, or waiver wire with Nix and Mayfield and stuff. So maybe just exactly as you're saying, Sharp, was a bit of a lesson to be learned there for your drafts, really.
I'm just looking now. Can you believe that Jackson scored more fantasy points this year than he did in 2019 when he was kind of the runaway MVP and fantasy? He scored 15 more fantasy points, and I'm scrolling through his stats and thinking, where are these fantasy points coming from? Because, you know, he got a few hundred more rushing yards back in 2019. Mm. And a couple more rushing touchdowns as well, so he was better on the ground then. He did throw more touchdowns this year, but only 5 more. But he threw 1,000 more yards this year than he did in 2019.
Over 4,000 this year, wasn't
it? So I mean, you know, if you think about, you know, last year, Lamar, and we're going to get into the MVP chat. Last year, Lamar Jackson wins the MVP with pretty average stats in terms of, if you're looking at kind of MVP level stats, he runs away with the MVP in 2019. And this year, you're comparing it to last year because it was like the last MVP given, and his stats are astronomically better than they were last year, but they're also better than the year that he was like the runaway winner of the MVP as well. So it's kind of like, and I'm still undecided myself on who I think it's going to be, but just making that argument now on the spot, I might have convinced myself. I don't know.
What was the gap like between Lamar and Allen? Because I mean, I didn't draft him anywhere, but I don't remember having. I knew he was obviously really good this year, but I didn't think, oh my god, that's the clear quarterback one on the year.
Yeah, and which is weird because in 2019 you did think that. Yeah. What was the point gap, Lou, between him and
point
Allen?
Gap, I know Lamar Jackson got 430, and Josh Allen, I'm just bringing it up now. I know he didn't score over 400,
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
there was a bit of a gap there.
Good chunk then.
Because Lamar's scored over 100 more fantasy points than he did last year.
So,
which is ridiculous. 430
Lamar Jackson, 379 Josh Allen. Wow. So a good 50. Really. Okay. Run away there. Running back position.
Yeah.
Running back position might surprise you. Number one, week 18 has a hell of a lot to do with this. It's Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs overtook Saquon Barkley. I think he's maybe like 6 points ahead or something like that in total points. But when you score 46 in week 18 and Saquon Barkley isn't even playing, Saquon Barkley obviously has a higher average. But yeah, Gibbs takes the crown. Barkley and Robinson, they're the only three guys to be averaging over 20 fantasy points this year.
Who would you draft? Who would you draft first out of them three next year, though?
I don't know, because Gibbs, you cannot.
You draft Barkley.
You probably would, but you obviously can't.
Yeah.
David Montgomery is a thing, and he is still going to get work as long as he's there. So, I mean, as someone who had
going to be back for the playoffs, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sure his knee is going to love that. Barkley probably. Number four, Derrick Henry. Number five, Devon Achane. Six, Josh Jacobs. Seven, Karen Williams. Eight, James Cook. Nine, Alvin Kamara, which is mental. If Alvin Kamara didn't miss time, he probably would have been a top five guy again. And number 10, Chase Brown. So again, that's a bit more predictable. A lot of those guys were among the top running backs taken.
And like Josh Jacobs was on fire the back half of the year.
He was absolutely on fire, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor missed some time, but he was coming on really strong at the back kind of month of the season as well.
Absolutely. Chase Brown, one to highlight though, maybe. See how high he goes in drafts next year. Wide receiver, this wasn't even close. Jamar Chase, only wide receiver to average over 20 fantasy points this year, which is disappointing, which highlight an inkling of this podcast.
We said this.
It's been a down year for wide receivers, which it was. Chase ran away with it. Scored 84 points more than the person in second, which that's multiple weeks worth of good fantasy performances. That's like
four good games.
A month worth of 21-point games extra that Chase had. Mental season for Jamar Chase. Congratulations if you have him. You won your fantasy championship. Justin Jefferson, number two, though. So there we go. Why look elsewhere ever again? Chase and Jefferson, they're always going to deliver, I guess. Amon-Ra St. Brown. So again, Chase, Jefferson, St. Brown. These are the predictable names. And, you know, spoiler, CeeDee Lamb is eighth. But if he didn't miss the time that he did do, he probably would be up here as well, fourth or fifth or something. And they were probably the top four wide receivers taken.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, yeah, sure. But it starts getting a little bit interesting here. Number four is Brian Thomas Jr.
Scurry. Did he really? Did he get all the way up there?
All the way up there, because he had a great end to the season with Mac Jones. That's somehow crazy.
And he looked great, like for fantasy from week one as well.
Yeah. He did.
I would still take Malik Nabers over him next year, though.
Yeah, probably. Drake London comes in at five, and Malik Nabers at six. Terry McLaurin, seven.
You know.
Yeah. Terry McLaurin, seven. CeeDee Lamb, eight. JSN, nine. And Garrett Wilson, number 10.
Where did Marvin Harrison Jr. finish?
I wasn't making a top 40, so I don't know. tight ends, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, George Kittle. I'm highlighting all three of them because they're the only three quarterbacks over 15 fantasy points a game, and they all have almost identical points per game. So great from all three of those guys, really. I know Bowers had sort of the headline season, but McBride was great. Kittle was really good this year.
Did Bowers not run away with it then? It felt like he
total points. He did at times. Yeah, total points. He did outscore him by a little bit, but McBride and Kittle missed a bit of time.
If Kittle could stay healthy, then yeah, it would have been a
supersonic
year. But
all of them, as I say, like all of them, pretty identical points per game, really. Jonnu Smith, what was going on there? What was if this was full season from when he was on the Dolphins, he would probably been runaway number one tight end because ridiculous. And then listen, you're going to think you've gone back in time with these next ones, 5, 6, and 7. Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz. Remember the days? It's 2019 all over again, lads.
I'm surprised Andrews managed to finish that high, to be honest. Felt like every week was
a bit of a touchdown merchant this year, though, Andrews. Laporta comes in at 8, capping off a thoroughly disappointing season. Freiermuth, 9. Tucker Kraft, 10.
No Kyle Pitts.
No Kyle Pitts. No Kyle Pitts.
Well, I mean, the thing is with Bowers, you know, you draft a guy who's probably like on the Mount Rushmore of college tight ends.
Yeah.
And you put him on a team that has nobody else to throw the ball to. I mean, Jacoby Myers is quite nice, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's fun about, you know, those guys coming, number one is, I reckon realistically, there's fantasy teams out there that had all those guys, you know, say you pick up Jamar Chase, you're near the middle of your draft, you pick up Gibbs or Chase and then come back around for Gibbs, then back around for Jackson and then pick up Bowers later on. I'm sure there's teams with all four of those number one guys on. But who's the MVP of the league, lads? Who is the actual league MVP that will be awarded at NFL Honours on February 7th, hosted by Snoop Dogg or something like that?
The thing is, I think they want to give Josh Allen an MVP. And because the MVP isn't going to go to one of the number one seeds this year, it can't do. Like the quarterback of the number one seeds, it's got to go to someone on a good team, a really good playoff team that's kind of had an outstanding statistical year. Now, because of how the NFL's done it in the past, I've kind of put a lot of weight on team wins. But because of the fact that actually the Bills have only won one more game than the Ravens, and you have all those comparisons with Jackson's stats this year compared to previous years, I'm now having a hard time not saying Lamar Jackson. It's Jackson or Allen, basically.
Chapels, what do you reckon?
I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think it will be Josh Allen.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. Like, it's a narrative award, really. But yeah, looking at his stats, it's Lamar Jackson. It is Lamar Jackson.
I know. I mean, because obviously Allen seemed to do an awful lot on the ground this year, even though he had less touchdowns on the ground than he did last year. But clearly, through the air, this is one of, in terms if you're looking at yards, if you're looking at touchdowns, it's one of Allen's weaker seasons.
Yeah.
He's just had those moments at times, I suppose. So actually, digging into the numbers now and looking at the stats, yeah, it's kind of got to be Lamar's, really. Yeah,
I think so. Lamar Jackson for us.
And by the way, like, it's so great and kind of like to see, like, when if you were aware of who Lamar Jackson was in college, he was like this electrifying player, but one of those kind of prospects where you're like, people were asking him to work out at running back and wide receiving, you didn't know he was going to work out. Then he came in for a little bit at the end of his rookie season, and then he has that blow up second year where he wins the MVP. And then to see him 5 years down the line still as like one of, if not the best player in the league. It's so like great to see that. It's so great to see because all you were told with players like Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick is that it's not sustainable, and Lamar's just still doing it even better than ever.
Yeah, definitely. I echo that as well. Let's get into some news before we talk projection beater results. When I say news, I basically mean coaches getting fired. Because Patriots fired Gerard Mayo pretty much as the final whistle went. As time...
He must have known. He must have known. Yeah. And that's why they won the game.
Yeah. So soon after that game finished, he was fired. You know, various statements coming out saying it just wasn't working out, the team wasn't going the way Robert Kraft wanted it to, blah, 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 all this. I mean, something must have been going on because obviously this was the season where he was meant to be crap. You were meant to be bad this season, and it was meant to be okay. So how bad must it have been?
If I was
a GM or the owner, whoever makes the decision, I wouldn't hire... a coach who has a condiment as a last name. I just don't see how you can command respect. Imagine having a coach being called like John Ketchup.
Yeah, true. So
Bob Mustard, Colonel Mustard. Actually, no, because if there was a coach called Colonel Mustard, like off Cluedo, then I would actually probably respect that. Okay. Mustard is the only acceptable condiment surname.
Okay, I got you. I mean, would you class someone with the surname Brown as a condiment name?
No, it'd have to be Brown Sauce. And in that case, no. My head coach was called John Brown Sauce. No.
Okay, yeah. Got you. Jags have fired Doug Peterson, which...
Why did they not do this 2 months ago?
Give the man his dignity, all right? Let him... completely and utterly scare off all other teams by doing terribly for the rest of the season.
Are the Jags going to just be one of them teams now? While as long as what's his name, Tony Khan's son, isn't he?
Shad Khan.
Is it just going to be a case of while he's there, they're just going to be a joke?
Probably,
maybe.
Because did he hire Urban Meyer?
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, bringing it, nothing wrong with Doug Peterson, but you're hearing a lot of chatter and stuff coming out of the Jags that things are dysfunctional. If he's running the Jags anywhere like his son's running that wrestling company, then it does seem like a bit of a circus.
Yeah. Raiders fire Antonio Pierce and the general manager. God, feels like we say that every year. About the Raiders, really. They're just one of those teams who can never get it right, which is fun. Titans have fired their general manager, but not their
Nice to see a GM go,
to be fair. And putting a bit of faith in your first-year head coach. Not coach firings, but I just thought it was interesting that the Colts... and the Giants had to come out and say, and actually make an official statement saying, we're not firing our head coach and GM, which should tell
that's
you...
That's always a good sign when you have
to come out with a statement to say that. Is that okay? Great. And the Cowboys, everything's really up in the air, really. Mike McCarthy's apparently... you know, being told you can look elsewhere, but then interviews are being denied by the Cowboys, by the Giants, for the Giants job and stuff like that. I don't really know what's happening there.
What I don't know, how his agent let him sign a contract that says even though you've not got a contract, you won't be able to negotiate with other teams.
Yeah. Probably desperate back then, but yeah, just so we're keeping score. That means the Bears, Jags, Jets, Patriots, Raiders and Saints and maybe a couple more will all be looking for new head coaches this off-season. So that'll be interesting. That will be interesting. Who out of them ones that I just said, just really quickly, Bears, Jags, Jets, Patriots, Raiders, Saints, which is the hottest commodity there, Al?
Probably Burrs.
Chapels?
You've got to say the Burrs because, you know, I don't think... You've still got to view the quarterback, Caleb Williams, the same as you viewed him last year, really.
Yeah, sure. Chapels, you agree?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I mean, he was number one overall pick. They've got a decent core around him. They need a complete rehaul at O-line, but...
Yeah,
definitely, the most.
He wasn't even playing bad.
Mm, yeah,
he wasn't even playing bad. That's the thing. You spot on, Sharps. It's the O line.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then just a bit of news, player wise, going into the playoffs. Zay Flowers is going to be out for the wildcard game, and Christian Watson has torn his ACL, so he won't be playing for the Packers. Al, it's that time. Can we pick him?
Oh, yeah.
Can we pick him?
I think we can pick him a bit better than last year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and I think there's a clear winner as well in terms of the three of us. Now, I didn't work out average points this year because it seemed a bit not necessarily in line with what we do with these projection beaters, because obviously we're not necessarily aiming for points per se. It's more about beating a projection and giving
a value.
The listeners a value every week. So I've not done total points, average points this year. So we've gone off hits and misses. So if we go over the quarterback, I'll go over position by position. Mm-hmm. I'll say who's won overall, and then I'll compare it to previous years. So at the quarterback position, Lou, you had 5 hits,
no.
6 misses.
Oh, God.
I had 8 hits, 6 misses. Sharples, 5 hits, 6 misses.
Yeah, not a good year for quarterbacks for me.
Wow.
Yeah. Lou, 6 hits, 5 misses at running back.
That's awful.
I only had 3 hits and 7 misses at running back. Sharples, though... You're going to work out who's the winner at some point because they're going to start pulling away. 6 hits, 1 miss.
Nice.
At running back.
And a hit, and a miss cancels out a hit.
No.
What's the scoring system? How do you aggregate the hits and the misses?
Oh, that's a good point.
What do you mean?
Like,
what do you mean?
Like, I had, you know, like when you get to the end of it, like, how do you weigh them up, the hits and the misses?
The winner, I weigh it up because one of us has got more hits and less misses than the other two people.
Got
so I've weighed it up there. Right. It's not that close.
Okay. Right.
Wide receiver position. Lou, you had 3 hits, 6
no
misses.
No way, this has been an awful year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I had 6 hits, 4 misses and a goose. But do you want to look at this? I had 4 hits at the wide receiver position through the first 4 weeks of the season, and then I had 2 for the rest of the year.
You were on a real hot streak. You were the wide receiver whisperer at one point.
Yeah, not anymore. Sharples, 6-6 in that category with 1 goose.
Yeah.
Tight end though, I'm impressed. I am really impressed with how we, considering the reputation of tight ends on this podcast and what we've been like, particularly Lewis, at picking tight ends in the past, I think we've done pretty amazing. Lou, tight end, 8 hits, 3 misses.
Nice.
8 hits, 3 misses. I went 5-1 with 1 goose in there as well, as did Sharples, 5-1 with 1 goose in there as well. So, I mean, say what you want about tight ends, but we've turned that around.
I don't have the stats to back it up, but it felt like Tucker Kraft became Lewis's Taysom Hill this year.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Actually, I'm seeing Pat Freiermuth more time on Lewis's.
I did like the move. I did like the move.
Yeah. Sharples went for a 4-week hit streak on tight ends in the middle of the year, one of which was with Kyle Pitts as well, crazily.
Oh, yeah.
But when I said it wasn't close, it's because, Lou, you ended up with 21 hits, 20 misses, no gooses, which is good. I had 21 hits, 18 misses, 2 gooses. Sharples, you had the 1 goose, the 2 gooses, sorry. You had the 2 gooses. However, 22 hits, and just the 14.
Let me contest because I feel like a goose should count for multiple misses.
But he has 6 less misses than you do.
Well, if we're saying a goose is 2 misses,
he still wins.
Burley. That's interesting how all of our hits are quite similar as well, though.
Yeah, I know.
Spectacular. Sorry.
Yeah.
Excellent year, I would say. I think the misses, you know, if you think about how many picks we do, 4 picks a week over, you know, 17 weeks because we missed 1 week, to have 14 misses for that period is... It's pretty safe picking.
I've said in the past, like, I'd rather not get a miss than get a hit. So it's probably reflected in that. But I think I had a strong finish because I remember being like week 6 and I'm thinking, God, I've been absolutely awful. So I think I might have had a bit of a late surge just off memory.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you were just pretty consistent throughout. I think you're pretty consistent throughout, to be fair. We want to get those hits up next year. But if we're comparing it to previous years, now, 2022 is always going to be the year where the stats are inflated because we did 3 points above is a hit and 5 points below is a miss because we were idiots.
Yeah, that was stupid in hindsight.
So that year, we had 72 hits, 35 misses and 5 gooses, all of which came from Lou. All of which came from Lou, if I remember correctly, that year. No. 5 gooses, right?
5
and they were
gooses.
All at the tight end for the.
No,
yeah, you did.
They were all at the tight end for the.
I cannot
as well.
Believe that. I cannot. I don't.
So I mean, even with that kind of inflated scoring format, we still only scored, you know, 6 hits, 6 hits, 3 hits. So what, 15 hits at the tight end position with more misses and gooses than that, even with that inflated scoring format. So we have got better at picking tight ends, especially Lou.
God.
Tight end whisperer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, really, what you're doing is you're comparing it to last year. You're comparing it to last year, essentially. And last year... We had 56 hits, 50 misses, 3 gooses. Now, aggregate this however you want, Lou, but this year we've got 64 hits, so that's an improvement of 8. 52 misses, so that's a negative improvement, if you want to say that, of 2. And the same amount of gooses. So how are we aggregating that? Are we saying we did better?
Yeah, damn right, we did better,
big time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
We're
improving. You know,
always improving.
And every year, the hits have outweighed the misses as well. We've got those gooses down from the first year.
Yeah.
I think what target should we set for next year, lads?
100.
I'm gonna write as a target. No,
70 would be
interesting. Yeah,
I think 70 hits, 50 misses would be good. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm gonna write that down now.
Right.
Okay.
There we go. And just time to round it out, lads, with our playoff brackets. The 3 of us. We'll post this as a graphic as well on the Instagram. Yeah. But yeah, we'll run through our brackets, which is a bold thing to do because, like, the first game goes wrong and your bracket is done. So hopefully that doesn't happen. I think we'll go because obviously if we all have him on us, because the way it works out, we might, you know, if we differ on one game, that'll drastically change the matchups of the other one. So I think we'll just go. I'll go divisional round. I'll do mine. Then you do yours. You do yours. You know. So. The divisional rounds, I have the Chargers beating the Texans, I have the Ravens beating the Steelers, and I have the Bills beating the Broncos in the AFC. In the NFC, I have the Rams beating the Vikings, I've got the Commanders beating the Buccaneers, and I've got the Eagles beating the Packers. Al, give us your wild card weekend games.
I have exactly the same.
Really? Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Sharples, any different there?
No, I also had exactly the same.
Exactly. So we've all got the Rams beating the Vikings.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I alluded to a team before that I said was not buying it, win team in the playoffs, they didn't want to make a big deal about it because they could make us look like idiots.
I don't think they can. I don't think the Vikings will make us look like idiots, though. I just think they've... I don't know. That's real. I'm really scared. So right, okay, all of us potentially...
I mean, law of averages then. I know there's only three of us here, but you extrapolate that to everyone who watches the NFL. That means that everyone thinks the Rams are going to win.
Yeah.
They're going to win.
So that means, conveniently, we've all got the same divisional round. So
good.
That's nice. I have the Chiefs beating the Chargers. I have the Bills beating the Ravens. And then in the NFC, I have the Lions beating the Commanders and the Eagles beating the Rams. Al.
Yeah, I've got the same NFC... Lions and Eagles to move on. I've got the Chiefs to beat the Chargers, but then I've got the Ravens to beat the Bills.
Interesting. Sharples?
I will be siding with Alex Brindle on this one. I also have the Ravens to beat the Bills.
Interesting.
Do you not think about... I know that the MVP is a regular season award, but do you not think it could be as simple as they'll probably go with... If that ends up being the game,
whoever wins,
they'll probably go with whoever wins that game.
I think that's a fairer way to do it.
Even though they shouldn't.
I think that's a fairer way to do it. You're not only playing for a championship game, but you're playing for the MVP. So there you go. It's a fairer way to do it.
Yeah.
So that means that my AFC championship game would be, shock horror, the Bills Chiefs, which I have gone against my pre-season Super Bowl prediction, and I've actually gone with the Bills to beat the Chiefs. And my NFC championship game will be the Lions-Eagles, in which I've gone with the Lions. Al?
Yeah, so I have stuck on the AFC side with my pre-season pick, Super Bowl pick, and I've gone for the Chiefs to beat the Ravens. I just think that the kind of no team this year is more of kind of like a team of destiny than they are. But then I've gone against my pre-season Super Bowl pick with the Lions-Eagles because I had the Lions to get to the Super Bowl. I've got the Eagles beating the Lions and the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl rematch of a few years ago.
Rematch, nice. Sharples, what about yourself?
I've got the Chiefs to go over the Ravens, and like Alex, I'm also going against my preseason prediction because I had the Eagles, but I am now going for the Lions.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay, so my Super Bowl picks... Well, my Super Bowl would be the Bills against the Lions, and I'm taking the Bills to win the Super Bowl. But it's a win-win for me because if the Chiefs win, I can say I said that at the start of the season.
No, you can't.
Al, what about you? Who have you got winning?
I've got the three-peat. I've got the Chiefs.
Sharples.
Yep, same for me.
Three-peat.
The Lions.
Okay, interesting. So we do split off a bit as it goes on. I'm sort of impressed that we've all got the Vikings crashing and burning out because that could...
Yeah.
Listen,
it's so good to have all these games, particularly as you get into kind of like the divisional round and the championship round. These NFL games, which kind of like they do mean kind of so much, so that you're just going to see like quality football because like in the regular season you want red zone on, you want to be bouncing around the games, but then in the playoffs you want to watch every game like one after the other and just kind of take it all in. Yeah.
I think. Agreed. And with our brackets, I think that Vikings-Rams one is a bit of a stupid one, really. It's a bit unfair if your bracket gets spoiled by that because neither of them are getting past the divisional round anyway. So it's like, yeah, my brackets, it doesn't matter if it's the Rams or the Vikings. Like the NFC Championship game is going to be the Lions-Eagles. Simple as that.
Yeah. I know what you mean. The bracket's broken, but then when you go further along, the bracket is also back on.
That's it. Yeah. But that'll do us, lads, and that'll do us for a few weeks. That's the regular season done mm-hmm. with. That's another season of fantasy football done with. It's been a fun one. Very fun one yeah. once again. Yeah, any closing thoughts?
Just can't wait for the playoffs. And remember,
the 5th of November,
like we always say, we are the podcast. We are the podcast for the tight ends. Remember yeah. that. We've always said that.
And we can. We pick are the them. Podcast for the tight ends and the Panthers. We've always said that.
Yes.
Two things that we famously yeah. have loved throughout this podcast's life. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our awards episode, giving out our, you know, assessing our picks from earlier in the season, fantasy MVP, hot takes, and then giving out our, you know, fantasy MVP awards, you know, biggest bust.
I can't believe my hot take was Jaden Daniels to be a top 10 quarterback.
Was it?
I don't want to say what mine was.
I'm not going to say what mine is. You'll have to wait to that episode. But my hot take was so good that in the middle of the season, you two were having a go at me because it was that cold of a take because it was already so obvious. But like,
I can't remember it.
Well, wait and see. We'll get to it. But yeah. Okay. But we'll be back in a few weeks for that, probably sort of around championship time. Going to try and line it up. I think we usually try and line it up anyway with the NFL honours anyway. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, because ours is just as prestigious.
That's it. That is it.
If not
so,
more so.
Even more so. So yeah. We'll be back in a few weeks, end of Jan, start of Feb with that episode. Enjoy the playoffs. And yeah, thank you for listening. Goodbye.
See ya.